Thank you. I always feel bad interrupting your conversations with that, but you can catch up with that conversation in the cafe area for hospitality straight after church. Grab yourself some lunch. We've got a lunch deal on today. Grab yourself some lunch. Just hang around and continue those conversations, which is amazing. How good is it to be out on a Sunday morning when it's raining? Who thought about sleeping in this morning? Anybody? It'd be so easy. But it's great to be here today. Look, next weekend, we have another special guest with us next weekend. I call him the jellyfish preacher. I probably shouldn't say that, but I call him that because he got stung by 5 irukandji. I was saying 6, but, you know, it might as well be 50 once you go past one. He got stung with 5 irukandji jellyfish, and one's enough to kill you, so imagine what 5 does to you. And so he had one of those experiences where, you know, you die and came back to life in a powerful, life-changing moment for Ian many years ago. I think he was in the Mauritius when that happened. And he is a world-renowned speaker, has a church in London, ministers out of New Zealand. I've heard of him for many, many years, but through a connection with Bruce from our church, we've been able to have Ian come. We're hosting him next Sunday here in our service on Sunday morning. On the Saturday, all the boys are getting together. So if you're a man, look at your neighbour. Just say, are you? Are you? If you're a man, we'd love to have you here on the Saturday morning. It costs you $15. Girls, worth paying the $15 to send your man out on Saturday morning of next week. You can do that at the welcome desk this morning. Just check in, pay your registration, see Pastor Darrell. He'll be wandering around, muscling up some of the boys straight after church, and that will be a great deal. Our welcome dinner too. What we want to do with that is just microwave your church experience. Sometimes when you're new in church, it just takes a little while meeting people, navigating the culture of the church, why they do this, why they do that, who's who in church. And so the growth track and welcome dinner is all about helping you understand that. We do a dinner. Food's always good. We're all going to eat, and so you may as well come and eat on us, and we'll shout you an amazing meal. We'll do our first part of the growth track on that night, and then the next 2 Sunday nights we'll also, for 1 hour, we're just asking for an hour of your time on a Sunday evening. That's a good deal. Today, everyone say today. Today you're in for a real treat today. Next week we have a world-renowned speaker. Today we have a galactic speaker. Our very good friends, Pastor Mark and Deanne von Blankensee, are with us from Tasmania. Of course, Deanne is on our staff now, is a virtual bookkeeper for our church, and is looking after all things accounting for us, and which is wonderful. But Pastor Mark is here somewhere to come and preach today. And I just want to say, Pastor Mark and Deanne have been our amazing friends for about 26, 27 years, somewhere like that. And when you do what we do in ministry, there's nothing better than the closeness of rich relationships of friends navigating that journey together. He is an outstanding pastor, loves people so incredibly, and whenever he speaks, I listen. I really listen when Mark speaks, because he brings a real sense of God voice to what we do. So why don't you give a big Impact Church welcome to Pastor Mark as he comes today. Good on you, my friend.
Thanks, Dane. Listen to me.
Well, that was awkward. Galactic. Wow. I've never been called that before. I've been called a black hole, but never galactic. Just say hello to the person next to you. Give them $20. If you haven't got $20, give them a smile and say how good you're looking. There was a... just want to encourage, if you are new or if you're watching online, It's great to have that online experience, the virtual church deal, but church is meant to be bumping and interacting with people, and I get there is times when you can't get out of your house, which is it's a brilliant thing to have online. But I'd encourage you to take the next step for all you who are online to get in person and do that, because it's another experience again. And it's the way that we've been designed, not to be in front of a screen. And again, thank God for the screens that we have and all the things that they do. But there's another level again above that. And there's another level above just attending church, but being a part of church. We are the church collectively, one body. And so being a part of that is a good deal. It's like God designed it.
Yeah.
There was a young fella sitting over there this morning behind. Hey, Renee, you did a great job this morning too. It's like, wow. Yeah, I reckon let's do it properly. Well done. This is not a golf clap church. If you come from a church with a golf clap, I don't believe that's how we should worship.
Yeah.
Or how we should cheer on one another. Let's get, if we're going to do it, we may as well do it full in, 100%. We can't do Christianity at 90%, because 90% quickly becomes, before you blink, becomes 68%, and that 68% quickly becomes 30%, and it just keeps drifting down. So I can't do, you may be, what you probably are, way better than I am, but I can't do Christianity anything else than 100%. Following Jesus is 100% deal.
Yeah.
It's sort of not like a sort of, we don't have non-practicing Christians here. I'm a non-practicing soccer player.
That's good.
Anyway, so well done, Renee. There was a young fella sitting in a seat behind you all morning this morning. Can anyone help me identify who that was?
Arpy.
Where is he now?
Upstairs.
Do you reckon we could go and get him?
Find Arpy. Find Arpy.
Cool. So when, I don't know Arpy, this might freak him out, but when he comes in, we want to go, Arpy, 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 Arpy. That'll freak him out. It'll freak everyone out. Hey, while he's coming, words build our worlds. Words are important. We sang some songs today. The joy of the Lord is our strength. What do you think of when you... What's the word joy mean to you? And we need to have some clarity. I want to go through a few things. R-P, 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 R-P. Come up here, R-P. My name's Mark. How old are you, Arpy?
11.
11, and you're taller than me already. I just want to encourage you, and this is embarrassing, I get it, but I want everyone to remember you. I think you're unforgettable right now, but I could break out in song if I was Pastor Tony. But this morning, we were walking around and Pastor Tony got us here at like 5 o'clock this morning and just to make sure things were right for you. You know, there's a whole team that put hours and hours and hours into creating the best possible environment and opportunity for you to meet God. They don't do it for show. They do it to create an environment. And that's our role as servants of God, is to go, how do we create the best possible opportunity environment? We can't control anyone, but we can try to make the best opportunity environment for you to connect with God.
Yeah.
And you were here, sitting over there this morning, and I said, while the worship team were practicing, you weren't just, yeah, whatever, dude. You were locked in. You were going, I'm going to be doing that one day. I don't know what skill set you have, but you remind me of Joshua. There's a dude in the Bible called Joshua, and he was a warrior. He was a champion. He was set above and beyond, like, not better than, because no one's better than each other, but what he was called to do was, like, huge. And I believe there's a great big call on your life, and to be a Joshua, to take a fight and to fight on behalf of people who can't fight for themselves and haven't got the ability to fight. And I don't know, there's something about that worship, and because Psalm 138 says that we will awaken the dawn with our praise. When people are in darkness, there's nothing like praise and worship to bring light into the room. And I believe that you're going to have this God gift of bringing light into dark rooms, into dark places. So, Arpi. So, Father, I pray for Arpi right now in the name of Jesus. And we just amen what you have already placed in his life. We want to recognize that, and we set him apart for your plans and your purposes. We put, I know that your spirit would be beside and behind and in front and around and upon this young man, that as he walks forward, that he would find one, a great coach, a great spiritual coach who's like a Joshua had Moses, that he would find his Moses, that he would be shaped and guided, and the gift on his life would be have the best possibility to mature and to grow into everything that you've designed it to be. So we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good art. Now, Arpi, before you go, one, can you do a job for me? Can you tell the time? So up the back there, 9:44, see that? You've got to come and tap. By 9:50, if I haven't finished saying what I've wanted to say, you just need to come and tap me on the shoulder. Good? You can do that?
By
9:50. 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
And it's $50 in it for you.
Oh!
You good?
I have to tap your shoulder.
You just have to come and say 5 minutes are up. Good? That's all you need to do. So when you do that, I'll give you this. So just stay there. Okay. Because I want to say something. This is not part of the message. We were at Canungra. It was happy birthday, Cheryl.
Happy birthday.
Should never say a lady's birthday, but happy 60th birthday, Cheryl. We were at Canungra on Thursday doing the Canungra thing, looking at all the... Anyway, we were there. And on the sign on a window, it says, "Find your happiness here."
Yeah.
Find your happiness here. What does happy mean? So I'd like you, I'm going to give you some, in the next 4 minutes, give you some definitions that I've come up with, some words, and I think it are really important to have settled in my heart, but settled in your heart. So I'm not saying these have to be your definitions, but I want you, it'd be great to come up with your own definitions of some words that we throw around a lot, but we really don't mean. And when we don't know what words mean, we can get really confused. You know, when it says the joy of the Lord is my strength, are you saying I should be, like, happy? Or is that a different word altogether? Yeah. So, 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Happiness. I think we got it on the screen. Happiness is a byproduct of engaging purpose. Happiness is a byproduct of engaging. Happiness is like a sausage sizzle smell. It's a vapor, it's a smell, it's not tangible. Happiness is a vapor, it's not tangible. It's a byproduct of what? Of a barbecue, of onions and sausages. And it doesn't, the smell doesn't exist without the barbecue.
That's right.
Right? You don't search for the smell, you search for the barbecue.
Yeah.
We don't search for happiness, we search for purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we engaged with purpose, then the happiness is a byproduct of living your purpose. Good? So happiness is you don't spend your life, and parents, when you tell your kids, "I just want you to be happy," it's like the kids go, "Well, just give me money." And it's not like, if we can get better language around it, parents or people, is to go, "I want you to engage with your purpose." Because engaging with your purpose will bring a byproduct of engaging with your purpose is happiness. Don't go searching for happiness. It's like searching for a sausage sizzle smell.
Right.
Great. That's number one. And you can't permanently live in the sausage sizzle smell.
No.
You don't want to either. Okay, and then the next thing, so if it's happiness is engaging with your purpose. Purpose is the life, is the mission of acquiring our treasure. So purpose is the mission of acquiring our treasure. So that's the why behind it. Why do we do what we do? Because it's the mission of acquiring our treasure. Treasure is what we deem of highest worth. See, sometimes we don't even know. If I had to ask you, what's your treasure? We should be able to go, this is my treasure. Because then we know, well, what are you doing about that? Is like, I'm living a life of acquiring my treasure. Because that will bring happiness. Happiness, God wants you to be happy. No way. Where's the back thing? Where's the time gone? There's no time. I've got one more minute. Okay. See, 9:49. Okay. Passion ignites when we're captivated by a treasure. I can see these young girls down the front and they're dancing away. What's their passion? Their passion is dance. And when they're engaged with that, it's like, wow, I love living life. Joy. Joy is found in presence, not purpose. Joy is found in presence. Joy, you know what presence is? In the Bible, presence means face. When we sing the joy of the Lord is my strength, it's the face of the Lord is my strength. So what do you imagine when you imagine God's face? If you imagine a snarly God who's ready to get his... So joy is in presence, in your face. Joy is a super emotion. You can have joy at a funeral. Because it's about... What do we do when we see a little baby? What do people do? They go, no, 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 daddy. Like... educated people. Because it's their face and it's designed like that. Babies can only see this far when they're young. And a mother's face is there going, what's a mother's face saying? I love you. You are valuable to me. I'm so glad I'm here with you. What a good deal. Despite circumstances, that's why you can have the super emotion of joy at a funeral, where there's grief, not happiness. Because when you meet someone at a funeral, it's like, I'm so glad you're here. What your face says is like, I'm glad I'm here with you. You are valuable to me. I love you, and we're going to get through this together. When we imagine, when we sing the joy of the Lord, we're imagining God's face shining upon us and God's face going, you're valuable to me. I'm glad I'm here with you. Regardless of the circumstances we're in, you're so valuable and we're together, we'll get through this. That's what joy is. And the last one, when my 5 minutes are up, is believing. So we say the word believe a lot. Believing is deep trust. Trusting deeply. So when someone says, do you believe in God? It's not like, do you acknowledge God exists? It's, do you trust deeply that God's got you? Good? Excellent. Great. You know, trust is only required when in the dark. When there's a gap. That's not just in our relationship with our God, it's in a relationship with husbands and wives. There is a gap. And in this gap, we've either got to fill the gap of the unknown with suspicion or trust. And we get to choose. So, do you trust the leaders of this church? If you are new here today, if this is your first Sunday, either in the house or watching online, it would be wrong for the leaders, and I think Renee did an awesome job of that this morning, is to go, no one's asked you or said, just trust us. If anyone says that to you, take two steps backwards. because Christians are normally the most gullible people on the planet. Trust is given post reason, after reason, not pre reason. We've got to have a reason to trust. So if someone just says, well, just give me your money, just trust me, again, step back.
That's right.
And I've got this sense that someone here this morning is in a place, or online, you're in a place where someone's asked you for something and you don't really know them. It's pre-reason. You either got to be super naive or superstitious to launch into a trust deal when pre-reason. Get some reason.
Yeah.
God actually gave us a heart and a head. We want to use both of those together. So find out the, and same with trusting God.
Yeah.
Find out the reasons why you should. Okay.
Yeah.
Just some words that I wanted to have a look at. So speaking of it, how trusting are you? On a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being a no truster person, you're never going to get me to trust, to I'm in really quickly trusting people, where do you rate on the scale of 1 to 5? Are you a, there's no way, I'm a 1. It takes me a long time to trust people, maybe a 2. The person next to you, now that you've got, everyone's got the figure in your head, got a number between 1 and 5, ask the if you know the person next to you, ask the person next to you, I think I'm a 4. What do you reckon? Take a minute. Go. I see some husbands and some wives going, no way, you're not that. Okay. Trust. It's easy to say you trust someone. It's harder when the reality bites.
Right.
You can say, I believe, which is deep trust, I believe that a tightrope walker, anyone do tightrope walking across? It's a safety issue. Risk mitigation has ruled that out. Someone's walking across the Niagara Falls and on a tightrope, and they ask you, do you believe I can walk across there without falling? To say yes is easy. When we say yes and they say, well, jump on my shoulders, let's do it. That's another level, again, of trust. So trust really doesn't engage until there's skin in the game. So we start about, what's sort of a low treasure would be money. Have you ever trusted someone with money?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it didn't work out like you thought it could or should.
Yeah.
So, but then you've got time. Like you've trusted people with time, but they wasted it. You've trusted, and as we go up the scale of value, maybe you've trusted people with your health and they didn't deliver on what they should have. So until it gets really, the higher the value, the more careful we are of trusting people. You can give someone $5 and go, I trust you with $5. And it's like, if you don't, it's $5. But if you said, here's $50,000, I trust you with that. You do a lot more post-reason trusting than pre-reason trusting. Great. So, was Jesus an easy truster? Where would you mark Jesus on the scale of trust? Was Jesus a 1, low truster, or was Jesus a 5, a high truster? Lock it in. Lock it in. Got it? Where do you rate Jesus as the truster? John 2:23-24. Because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. Ooh, so Jesus wasn't a high truster in people. There you go. Jesus knew what was in each person's heart. Jesus knows what's in our heart more than we know what's in our heart.
Yeah.
And Jesus, part of Jesus' mission of being on the planet was to help us discover what's in our heart.
Yeah.
Part of the life journey or the growth tracks that have been offered here is not just to belong to a church, but is to help you discover what's going on in your heart. We have the ability as humans to get tied up in knots in our heart. And those knots create a whole lot of damage. But God wants to take you on a journey to free you. When God talks about freedom, he's not talking about no rules. He's talking about a freedom that you're not living with all those knots inside of you. And so Jesus, part of Jesus' mission while he was on the planet and ongoing, was to help untie the knots that we've got ourselves in. How did he do it? Jesus did it by asking questions, self-discovery questions that we can learn a lot from. If we got all the words that Jesus spoke, the conversations that Jesus was in, put them on an audio, it would go for 240 minutes, all the recorded words of Jesus. 240 minutes,
wow.
4 hours, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
All the recorded conversation of Jesus, 240 minutes. In those 240 minutes, Jesus asked 307 questions.
Wow.
So for every 10 minutes you spend with Jesus, you should, if the Bible is like a pattern of how life goes, every 10 minutes you spend with Jesus, you spent 10 minutes with Jesus this morning, did you get 13 questions? See, so I think somewhere we've missed this in our own personal time with Jesus, that if the Gospels are, again, a pattern of how life goes, and Jesus is a way of untangling what's going on inside us, we should expect some questions. Again, Jesus doesn't ask questions to find out. He asks questions for we can have a self-discovery of what's going on inside. There is no right or wrong answers. Get it right, you can't get it wrong unless you're dishonest. The questions Jesus asked, like the first question that Jesus asked when he was 12 years old recorded, is why are you searching for me? Again, no right or wrong answer, it's just be honest. Why are you here this morning? Well, they talked about cheap food or free coffee or something. Again, own it if that's why it's Sunday, it's a traditional thing I do. Again, own it. Just be honest, but it'll help discover what's going on inside. The next question Jesus asked as he was as an adult, the first question in the book of John was, what do you want? And I'm not sure Jesus, there's no tone. Sometimes I think that it'd be great if they could just scratch the Bible and it gives us a tone. How did Jesus say that? I'm not sure if Jesus said, what do you want? But Jesus did ask the first question as an adult recorded in the Bible is, what do you want? It is an incredibly challenging question. What do you want? I mean, take the time to be honest to answer that question. What do you want? What do you really want? And again, if it's like, I just want to win the lotto, that's all. Well, at least own it, and God works with that.
That's right.
He might ask the next question, you go, do you think there's something more important than that? But at least own it. Owning it helps, again, untie. It starts an untying process of what's going on inside. We are very not good at self-discovery.
Yeah.
Mainly because we don't take the time. And we're cautious of what other people might think. But Jesus said, what do you want? The disciple says, where you staying? Which is, can we come to your place this afternoon? It's like every 13-year-old's answer. What do you want? We just want to come and hang out with you. The last question Jesus asked recorded in the Bible is, do you love me?
Wow.
Do you love me more than these?
Yeah.
And it's like, do you love me more than these what? Do you love me more than these miracles? 153 big fish. Do you love me more than the person sitting next to you, these other disciples? Because Peter already said he did.
Yeah.
But now he was saying, do you? Again, there's a whole... We could go deep diving into the two questions I want to ask you this morning. And I believe that God is wanting to ask you as individuals, but as the church as a whole, is what is most valuable? So what's your treasure? And who are you deeply trusting with that treasure? What's your treasure? Again, no right or wrong answers. So you don't impress anybody by your answers. So what's your treasure, the thing that's of great worth? What's your treasure, and who are you trusting, deeply trusting with that treasure? Mark 8, 36, 37 says, what does it benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul? Question, then Jesus asks, is anything worth more than your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Again, Jesus wasn't right or wrong answer. He was putting a question out. And the question I want to put to you, is there anything worth more than your soul? Your soul is the internal real you. It's not only the internal you, it's the eternal you. It's the emotional being. Is anything worth more than the real you? So that's who your soul is, your own. You're responsible for your own soul's health and well-being. The challenge with that is we're unable to care for it ourselves. But Jesus said, is anything worth more than your soul? Your soul is the internal, eternal you. Your own, you're responsible for your soul's health. It's not Pastor Tony's or Pastor Maz's responsibility.
Yeah.
Hello. Back. You're responsible. They're here to help care, create the best possible environment where your soul can flourish and the opportunity where your soul can flourish. But grown up pants,
yeah,
you're responsible.
That's right.
For your soul.
Right.
Your own soul. Lose. It's possible to lose your soul.
Wow.
That's what Jesus was saying. Value. Nothing is worth more than your soul. Focus. Top priority in life is the condition of your soul. So if we go along this line, if the top priority is the condition of our soul, then the question's got to be, how's your soul? How are you going with your number one job? One job. You were given one job.
One job.
One job. How's your soul? 1 Kings 20. As the king passed by, a prophet called out to him and said, I went into the middle of a battle. Someone came to me with a prisoner and he said, guard this man. Everyone, one job. That's his one. Guard this man. Don't let him get away. If he does, you will pay for his life with yours. While I was busy here and there doing this and that, but while I was busy, he didn't even say what he was busy about. I was just here and there. The man disappeared. He had one job and the man disappeared. You have one job. Your one most important job is the health of you. Where's your soul? Can you even locate your soul? Has your soul disappeared on you? You wouldn't be the first person. And in a group like this, I'm thinking there's a percentage, and I hate to guess what that percentage is, that we've just, our soul disappeared. We got busy here and there. We got busy doing this and that, that we lost the focus of our number one priority, our number one treasure, our soul. The internal, eternal you. The flourishing condition of your soul is your number one priority in life. Can I say it's not your kids? It's not your bank manager? It's not your achievement? Because if your soul is flourishing, there's a ripple effect that goes out for the rest of it. The best thing you can do for your marriage is to have a healthy soul, a flourishing soul. The best thing you can do for your kids is have a flourishing soul. The best thing you can do for your community, bring your clothes for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, bring the ones that you like a lot.
Yeah.
But do that. But the number one thing you can do for your community, our community, is have a flourishing soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then it has a ripple effect. Who have you entrusted your soul to? If we're saying our treasure, greatest treasure, well, I'm saying it, you're listening. But I'm saying, from what I can read, our greatest treasure is our soul, from what Jesus said. Well, if that's our greatest treasure, who have we entrusted our greatest treasure to? Yourself? Would you trust yourself with $1 million? Anyway, a fellow sinner, a flawed saint. Most people, this is what I found in lots of years of peopleness, is most people trust their soul to circumstances. I want to make these circumstances, when circumstances are going well, my soul's good. But as soon as circumstances start falling apart, I'm done. It's like circumstances would be the last thing you want to trust anything you have to, let alone your soul. The younger son in the parable of the prodigal son, the younger son went, I'm going to trust my soul with my feelings. I want to do whatever I want, when I want, and finances. I'm going to have money and feelings, and I'm just going to, my soul is going to flourish if I can do what I want, when I want. Most kids up until the age, they can't wait to get to 17, because now I can get a car, I can do what I want, when I want. And then I can get a job and get some money so I can have finances and go with my feelings, and my soul will flourish. And what happens? Their soul doesn't flourish. Because money and feelings, finances and feelings will not, if you entrust your soul to your feelings and your finances, your soul won't flourish.
Yeah.
The older son, well, I'm going to trust my soul to doing what's right. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do the right thing. And churches are filled with people doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But doing the right thing won't make your soul flourish. The older son was angry, was bitter, was like, grr. He was twisted. Inside him, there was just all these knots going on because he entrusted his soul to doing the right thing. Doing the right thing is better than doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But it's not a good place to entrust your soul to. Only God qualifies to take care of your soul. So imagine you're a movie actor. You're an actor in the movies, and there's this role, action role an action movie coming up that you're going to an interview for. So imagine Heath. Like, if you pick someone who was going to be the star of an action movie, you'd go to Heath every day of the week. Absolutely. So Heath rocks up to this interview, and he's sitting there waiting for his turn to be interviewed to be the star of this new action movie. Out walks Chris Hemsworth and Margot Robbie, high-fiving the panel as they exit the interview room. Would you employ Heath? Would you employ you? I'm not thinking we would. There's a job going for entrusted soul carer. And we rock up to the interview to go, I'm going to take that job. I'm going to look after my own soul. So we're sitting there waiting for the interview of being the trusted soul carer. And in through the door, who must be the next person after I'm getting interviewed? Jesus comes and sits next to me to go, and I say, what are you here for? And as every Jew would respond, what are you here for? Just questions. And I'm here for the job of being the trusted soul carer for my life. And Jesus goes, strange thing, so am I. Who would you give the job to? The unfortunate fact is we give the job to ourselves and go, because we then become our own panel. And it's like we make the choice to go, well, instead of trusting Jesus with my soul, I'm going to trust myself with my soul. Oh, it's quiet. So how's your soul, the internal you? Is it broken? Is it lost? Is it sick? Is it slowly dying under the pressure of doing what's right? I've founded church life for those who are serving as leaders in church life, just to guard your soul, because sometimes I've been there where it's like, stink, I'm doing all the right things all the time, and they didn't even turn up. These other people didn't even turn up. They're out having a good time while I'm serving here. And before you know it, I've become the older brother, bitter and twisted about doing stuff, and my joy or my happiness or my passion disappears. Okay, closing off in the last 5 minutes. Let's land this message, I hope. Finding a trustworthy home for your soul. Can you just pinch the person next to you, going, you okay? All we're doing is, who have you trusted your soul with? Your soul's your greatest treasure. Who am I trusting my greatest treasure with? John 11, 21 to 41 is the account of Lazarus dying. What was Lazarus' claim to fame? He died. That's it. Bible is a historical account. There's books in the Bible, the Gospels are an historical account of what actually happened. They're not stories made up. They are historical facts of what actually happened. There's other books in the Bible that are more prophetic, or they're analogies, they're stories, and need to work out which ones are which. But the Gospels are a historical fact of what actually happened. And there's also another greater meaning beyond that of find yourself in the story. There's a principle there that God wants us to live by. So I want you to think about, find yourself in this story. The Lazarus story is that Jesus is away. He gets word that his friend Lazarus is sick. And he doesn't come. He just stays there with the disciples. Lazarus dies. 4 days later, Jesus turns up. And Lazarus' sisters are ticked off at Jesus, because he didn't come when they called. And they say this, Martha says, well, Jesus, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. Then Mary comes out, and the very same, what Mary says, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. And then the crowd says, surely if he came earlier, Lazarus wouldn't have died. So everyone's got it on to Jesus to go, well, what the heck? I thought you said you loved us, and you didn't come, and he died. Okay, find yourself in this story. What has died in your life that you've gone, Jesus, if you were here, let's go with joy. Joy is a part of our soul. Our soul is like a tree. It's got many branches, so there's many components of our soul. But let's just pick on joy, because we landed there this morning. The joy of the Lord is our soul. We sang joy type of songs. Has your joy died? Has your joy died? And could you have gone, well, Jesus, if you were here, if you stopped these circumstances happening, it would still be alive. Are you blaming Jesus for your joy being dead as much as Mary and Martha blamed Jesus for Lazarus being dead? What part of your soul has died? Has your passion died? Has your purpose died? Has your joy died? Has your emotions, are they flatlining? What part of your soul has died? And what I want to say this morning in these verses is really a question. But it says in verse 25, Jesus says these words. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." The question, do you believe this, Martha? Do you trust me deeply, Martha, even though you can't see it yet, even though you're in the dark? Isaiah 50, just a verse that's really helped me over the last couple of years. If you're walking in darkness without a ray of light, which paraphrase means if you haven't got a clue what the heck is going on, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. But watch out if you live by your own light and warm yourselves by your own fire. So basically what I read into this, if you are taking the role of the trusted carer for your soul, watch out. Because you're trying to keep your soul warm, if you're trying to keep your soul in the light, then you're setting yourself up for a big trouble. But if it's darkness, you don't know what's going on. You don't know why your joy has died. You don't know why your passion. You used to, I believe there's people here, because again, I've lived it. That your passion is like, I see those people up the front. They're dancing and they're into it. They'll work it out soon enough. They'll become just as cold and rigid as I am right now. No, don't we want to like the passion that people have? I believe there's all the time why you're sitting here, because there was a season where you were 100% in. You were passionate. You had purpose. You had joy. You had happiness because you were living out your purpose. You were in. But during the life, we get tied up in knots where the life source that of our passion in our soul dies because we haven't trusted God with it. Circumstances happen. Yeah. Bad circumstances happen. And the question is, who are we going to trust in the dark? Are you going to trust your soul to yourself? Or are you going to trust your soul to God when you can't work out what's going on? We went back before. Let me finish with this. Trust is post-reason, not pre-reason. So the question's got to be, why should I trust God? Why should I trust Jesus with my soul? It should be if you are here and you're going, I'm still working out this journey, it's a good question. It's the right question to ask. Why should I trust Jesus with my soul? Why wouldn't I trust Buddha? Why wouldn't I trust the government? Why wouldn't I trust some other Muhammad? Why wouldn't I trust someone else? Jesus says this, and it's already been touched on this morning. If I can have the team come back, that would be good. Our soul needs provision. Our soul needs providing for. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Jesus said, man, you can't live by just the natural things. Your soul won't survive on just the natural things. Your soul needs something more than bread. Just the natural things of life. Jesus says, I am what your soul needs to survive. I will provide. I am the bread of life, and your soul will be provided for. Jesus, he says, I am the resurrection. I am the bread of life. Your soul needs provision. Your soul needs protection. Jesus said, I am the door and the great shepherd. Jesus saying, I'm in the one who can protect you and protect not just you. Again, we get so caught up with the natural. Your soul, our soul, my soul is eternal. We've got to keep thinking about this journey. It's an eternal perspective, not just a here and now. Who are you entrusting? My father's been really sick. And in having conversation with him, the doctors weren't expecting him to live. And in our conversation, Dad wasn't fearful of death. He was just fearful of dying. Because he didn't know what that was going to be like. And our soul, our body, will die. That's why the greatest miracle isn't about your healing of your body. The greatest miracle is the freedom of your soul, the flourishing of your soul. That's the greatest treasure is your soul. And Jesus said, hey, I will provide for your soul. I will protect your soul. I'm like a shepherd that keeps the lions and the bears away. I'll provide. I'm better than bread. Jesus said, our soul needs power to change and grow. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Darkness cannot change darkness. I can't change the dark conditions of my soul. I don't have the power. Jesus said, I am the light. I can bring light because light brings growth. Light brings change. Without light, there's nothing. It stays in darkness. Light is the only thing that can change darkness. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I can transform darkness. Our soul needs something that's predominant over all things, including death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Our soul needs a pathway to travel on. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And our soul needs purpose. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. You're going to have a fruitful life when you engage in me. So the question this morning is, what's your greatest treasure and who have you trusted your greatest treasure to? 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. So Peter, who blew it, writes these words, who's restored later in his life. He says, so humble yourselves under God's strong hand, in brackets, by handing your soul over to him. That's humbling, surrendering. And in his own good time, he will lift you up. You can throw your whole weight of your anxieties upon him. Here it is. For you are his personal concern. You are God's personal concern. God hasn't subtracted that job to somebody else. You are his personal concern. And Paul, right at the end of his life, his last book he writes to Timothy, he says, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until the day of his return. I want to ask you this morning, and again, it's a question, and I don't expect immediate answer right now, but I'd love for you to take some time out during the week just to answer a few questions. Start having a look at the questions Jesus asked, because they're not interrogation questions. They're self-discovering questions that are going to untie the knots that we have inside. What's the most valuable? How's your soul? I hope it's flourishing. Because that's what God wants. God's not a meanie. He wants your soul to flourish. And who are you trusting your soul to? Father, this morning we open up our hearts and hopefully we open up our minds as well. And to be honest with you, to answer the questions that you're putting in front of us. For those of us whose soul's gone missing, we just lost it doing this and that, going here and there. You help us restore our soul. You help us find, in a sense, ourselves. You heal the brokenhearted. You heal our souls. You're the best person to entrust our souls to. And that's not a day-long journey or even a week-long journey. That's a lifelong journey. It's why we need each other to go on this journey together, that we trust you with the most valuable part of our life, our soul. We surrender our soul afresh to you today. We hand it over. We submit to your ways and your plans, to go your ways, not our own. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Why don't you stand with me, church? Right across the room. What a brilliant word. What a beautiful word. I feel that my soul has been fed today. Do you feel that? I feel my soul fed. I feel my soul refreshed today. And what a powerful and potent question for every one of us. Who are you going to trust your soul to? Who do you trust it to? It's the most important part of your being, your soul. What does it profit a man if he's busy gaining the whole world but he loses his soul? The soul is the one thing you don't want to lose. You don't want to waste it. Where are you going to trust it? While you're standing, if you just bow your heads for a moment, close your eyes. If you're online this morning, I want to give you a God moment right now. And if you're new to Church World, it's what we do. We have a conversation and we bring people to a point of giving an opportunity to make an adjustment, make a change, make a decision. And Pastor Mark asked that big question. Where will you trust your soul to? Who will you trust your soul to? Because you can't trust it to circumstance. You can't trust it to friends necessarily, or family, or anyone else really. But God. I trust in God. He's my Savior. He's the one I can trust to take care of my soul. He rejuvenates, He revives, He restores broken souls. And if you've walked life's journey for a little bit of time, your soul has had the opportunity to get broken. There's a real sense that it's born broken. It's what the Word of God teaches us about the lostness of our soul. And I want to give you an opportunity right now and give you that moment in a sense of privacy. That's why I've asked people to close their eyes and bow their heads. To make a decision to give your soul to Jesus, give your life to Jesus, give your very essence to Jesus, to surrender to God and ask God to carry your soul through this life journey. That's what it is to be a believer and a God follower. It's to let Him carry your soul. Because we're not real good at carrying it ourselves or even caring for it. So I'm going to ask you in a moment, if you want to make that decision for yourself, and it is a personal decision, I'm going to ask you just to lift up your hand nice and high in the air. If you're online, I'm going to ask you to write a comment. Just say, please pray for me. We'll have one of our team respond. We'll follow through with that. We'll do what we can to help you. But if you're in the room right now, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand in a moment. You may have gone to church for many years. This may be your first time or first couple of times. But you know if that conversation that Pastor Mark just had, if it hit the spot for you about your soul and the value and importance of that, then now's the moment to say, I need to do something about that. I want to surrender my soul to God. I want to choose to trust in Him, have my sins forgiven, know that I stand right with God, and I will walk with Him. That's my choice today. So right across the room right now, you may have done this decision before, but you know you walked away from it. You took your soul back. Why don't you surrender it to God today? Let God make things right for you today. If you're online, put a comment in the comment column right now. If you're in the room, why don't you lift up your hand right now, nice and high. When I see your hand, I'll see it. I'll ask you to put your hand down. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just here to help you this morning. Right across the room, if that's you, why don't you lift up your hand right now? Let me see your hand. When I see it, I'll acknowledge you. I'm going to pray for you this morning. Thank you, man. You can put your hand down. Somebody else, come on. Just taking a moment for you this morning just to help you. You can trust God. He'll never fail. Come on. Right across the room, if you're online, put your comment in. Put your comment in. Put your comment in. Thank you, sir. Put your comment in. Father, we pray today for people that are making decisions right now. Some are debating, am I going to lift my hand or am I not going to lift my hand? are they making decisions right now with those that have lifted hands, with those that are commenting, with those that are about to? I pray, come right now, Father, and just lift souls right now. Lift the heaviness, the brokenness, Lord, the rupture, the disruptions that have taken place in people's lives, the brokenness, and bring healing and bring wholeness and bring forgiveness, forgiveness of sins. Father, restoration of life and purpose, joy and happiness, we pray today. Father, into people's lives, bring people into a space of finding a whole new way of trusting and living and believing with you, is what I pray today in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, church, let's give a hand this morning for those that have made that decision today, online, in the room this morning. God bless you. God bless you. We want to help you in that decision. And we want to help just cheer you on. And we want to give you a Bible is what we'd like to do. And so after the service, if you come down the front or let us know online, we'll send you a Bible. And just to help you on the journey of letting God care for yourself. Why don't you lift your voice, lift your hands right now. Let's close out this morning. We're going to sing, I Trust in God.
My Savior, the one.
That's why I trust.
trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail.
Thank you. So good. I just got to tell you, God just has so many amazing little moments of things that he's prepared and doing for you that you're not even aware of. Just keep walking. Just keep going. Just keep breathing. Just keep hoping. Just keep believing. Just keep trusting. And never, 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 never. Come on, say never with me. Never, 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 never give up. Just keep going. Just trust him. Trust him. Just keep walking. Keep talking it. Keep walking it. Keep worshiping. Keep praising. Keep serving. Keep giving. You can trust him. You can trust him. He's going to do it. It's beautiful. Happy 60th birthday to Cheryl. Happy 60th birthday. We've been celebrating all week, and I think there's some little cupcakes. I'm not sure. And we've got lunch on today, so get a lunch deal. Stay behind and just connect with some people. The service after the service is really just as important to me as that moment that just happened right now, which is really amazing. Stay behind, make some friends. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Don't forget next Sunday, we've got Pastor Ian with us. That will be outstanding. All the guys, register for the men's breakfast. $15. We're going to have an amazing time together. God bless you, church. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you to our online family for joining us today. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Thank you. Big thank you to Pastor Mark. Why don't you give Pastor Mark a round of applause? Thank you so much, Pastor Mark. God bless you. Amazing word. Thank you. Thank you.